Welcome to the School of Faith. My name is Patrick Vossen, and we're going to be studying in the Scriptures the core principles of the faith, the various doctrines that we consider the bedrock of the faith. This particular lesson that we're going to be talking about is, of course, the foundation of that faith and how it is derived, and that is through and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This lesson's title is A Foundation for Life That You Can Build Upon. A little over a month before he died, the famous atheist Jean-Paul Sartre declared that he so strongly resisted feelings of despair that he would say to himself, "I know I shall die in hope." Then profound sadness, he would add, "But hope needs a foundation." That profound sadness he felt was because he didn't have a hope. And that hope that we have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That sure foundation, that faith, that desire to honor him, it is something that can see come out of our lives such success and opportunism. But we've got to give Christ a chance. Luke 6:47-48. "I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. That one is like a man building a house, who dug deeply and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood arose, the river burst against that house, but could not shake it, because it had been built and founded upon a rock." The architect Frank Lloyd Wright built a hotel called the Imperial Hotel in Tokyo. And he built that hotel in an area that he knew was very earthquake prone. Wright's investigation showed that a solid foundation could be floated on a 60-foot layer of soft mud underlying the hotel, which would provide a shock-absorbing but solid support for the immense building. Shortly after the hotel was completed, it withstood the worst earthquake in 52 years, while lesser buildings fell in ruins around it. If we have a hope that is secure in its foundation, so many things can be withstood, and we can make it through life's various difficulties. When I was growing up, I was like every other kid. Your mom and dad kind of just let you know, you're going to grow up, you're going to go to college, you're going to have a family, have kids, maybe get a house, have some good money, and life will be good. But you know something? That's not hope. That's something you might attain for. That might be good in itself. Those might be blessings. But that's not hope. Hope in Christ, the principles we can live by that help us in everyday life to be a blessing, to encourage people's lives, to help people succeed and empower ourselves, is what we should be looking to live by and work through and have in our lives every day. Embracing them will see us have good success. In the original languages of the scripture, whether Hebrew or Greek, the word foundation talks about the first principles or the institution of a system of truth. The institution or system of truth that we need to live by is through, by, and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we'll live by the principles that he laid out, there is a system whereby we can live by, that we can see ourselves having great success in life and also see victory in various aspects and confrontations that we have in our everyday lifestyle. 1 Corinthians 3:9-10. "For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building, according to the grace of God given to me. Like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it." We need to be careful what we desire to do in life and by what principles we live by. And if we prescribe to be Christians, we would best be suited to take hold of the principles Christ has given us to live by and have wisdom in being able to apply them in everyday life. Isaiah 28:16. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, see, I am laying in Zion a foundation stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, one whose trust will not panic." Jesus Christ and his principles are tested even by his very own lifestyle. The devil tried to tempt Jesus in the wilderness when he was in fasting and prayer, and in three various temptations tried to get him to give up something. He tried to twist the scriptures. He tried to work upon his emotions or flesh. But Satan couldn't get Jesus to give up on core principles that he lived by and go against the Lord God. In our hearts and lives, that tested stone in our personal lives can help us in being able to develop our lifestyle so that we can withstand the most difficult of circumstances. 1 Peter 2:6. "For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." I'm grateful that if I have faith in the Lord and I live out my life according to the Word of God, I can see the enemy not be able to put my life to shame. Now, I have had my difficulties. I've had my setbacks. But the important thing is I've never given up. If you will not give up and will allow yourself, just like Jesus, acknowledge you're going to be tested, Jesus Christ can bring you through and you won't be put to shame. How does one build on this foundation? One, Matthew 16:16 talks about confrontation. Verse 16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now, how did Simon Peter come to that understanding? It was because of revelation that he had that understanding. But the first thing that saw that transpire, that statement of faith, was because Jesus asked him a question. "Who do you think I am?" And he reiterated, "You're the Son of the living God." But Jesus confronted him. That faith had to become personal. His hope had to be personal. His principles had to be personal. Because his faith had become a part of him, Jesus confronting him and pinning him down with this question helped him to become right on and state the fact of who he was. There are times in our life when confronted with difficulties of life, we really find out who we are. And Peter at this moment in time in his life found out who he was. And he received it, this revelation, because of the confrontation that began with Christ in that question. So one, confrontation. Second of all, revelation. And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." Flesh and blood did not reveal to Peter the revelation of who Jesus was. It was a divine overshadowing by the presence and influence of God. The Lord grants New Testament believers the same opportunity and instruction through the work of the Holy Spirit. John 16:13-14 says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Holy Spirit can help you to put in remembrance the Word of God and the principles of Christ. As you have already been confronted and received Jesus as your Savior, now this Spirit of Christ that comes and gives revelation day in and day out will help you to declare through your life the Lordship of Christ. Third of all, acknowledgement. 2 Timothy 1:12, "And for this reason I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted in him." I want you to know that if you'll acknowledge him, understand that he can be entrusted. He will help you, and as you put your trust in him and acknowledge his lordship in your life, he can make all the difference in the world for you. A lot of people are willing to make Jesus Christ the Savior of their life. "Come and save me, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Apply the blood." But to make him the Lord and acknowledge his control in our lives and his ability to take us from where we are and to take it to a new dimension takes faith and confidence. We need to acknowledge his lordship. As a believer, I can be confident and persuaded in the fact that Jesus Christ and my commitment to him and acknowledging his effective work at the cross makes all the difference from now to eternity. Peter's acknowledging of the truth of who Jesus was and that relationship with him that would not just be for that day but forever was not based on a creed but on a personal revelation. Fourth, confession. This was an open and personal confession that continued on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached a powerful message that helped begin the inner workings of what the church became. He talked about salvation. He talked about this Jesus he came to know and how faith in him was attainable. And because of that confession, him making it a part of his life, it made all the difference in the world. The Bible talks about holding fast to our confession of faith. That which you speak out and that which you prescribe in your everyday life and live out will be that which shows forth the glory and the power of Jesus Christ as he lives and teaches through you and blesses in your everyday living. Let's consider a comparison between Peter and Judas. Among the apostles, the one absolutely stunning success was Judas, and the one thoroughly groveling failure was Peter. Judas was a success in the ways that most impress us. He was successful both financially and politically. He cleverly arranged to control the money of the apostolic band. He skillfully manipulated the political forces of the day to accomplish his goal. And Peter was a failure in ways that we most dread. He was impotent in a crisis and socially inept. At the arrest of Jesus, he collapsed. a hapless, blustering coward. In the most critical situations of his life with Jesus, the confession on the road to Caesarea Philippi and the vision on the Mount of Transfiguration, he said the most embarrassing and inappropriate things. He was not the companion we would want with us in time of danger, and he was not the kind of person we would feel comfortable with at a social occasion. Time has reversed our judgments. Judas is now a byword for betrayal, and Peter is one of the most honored names in the church and in the world. Judas is a villain. Peter is a saint. Yet the world continues to chase after the successes of Judas. Financial, wealth, and political power, and to defend itself against the failures of Peter, impotence and ineptness. In our personal lives, if we will hold on to the bedrock of faith of our Lord Jesus Christ and not give up in our faith in Christ, just like Peter, we might deny the Lord a couple times. We might go through our difficulties, but we can one day stand up just like Peter did, preaching the gospel on the day of Pentecost or ministering in our everyday lives and see success, because we will come through the fires, we will come through the floods, because we lived out the Word of God in our everyday living. God bless you and have a good day.